Godly home and family, the challenges and duties of marriage and family. Described the responsibilities of spouses and children, and talked about now duties of singles. Now, the nuclear family is the norm in the minds of men. We generally say, well, okay, it's got to have so many children. And again, I don't know how they get the half a child in there. But anyway, that's the normal nuclear family, and that's what we generally think of. But there are some more than just never been married reasons for being single. Could be divorced or could be widowed. Either one. So we're going to look first of all at the unmarried. And the unmarried do have some various reasons why they may be unmarried. Get this thing right. There it is. That may be due to circumstance. Women never been asked to be married. Men who have yet to find a woman who will accept their proposal. For others, it's a choice. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and here we are up to our verse we're going to read, the Apostle Paul begins in verse 25. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord. Yet I give a judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. I suppose, therefore, that it is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. So Paul recognized that a person could consciously make a choice to remain unmarried because of whatever the current distress might be. Now, some choose singleness in service to God. In Matthew chapter 19, I want to begin reading with verse 11. Now, leading up to this, the disciples had been talking to Jesus about marriage, and Jesus told them that if a man leaves his puts away his wife for any reason other than sexual immorality and marries another, he commits adultery. And whoever marries her who's put away commits adultery. And the disciple says, well, if it's that way with a woman and a man, it's better not to marry. But verse 11, he said to them, all cannot accept this saying, but only to those whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who are born thus from their mother's womb. There are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have been made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He who is able to accept it, let him accept it. Now, this is a choice of singleness and service to God that is made by an individual. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul reiterates the sentiment about remaining single when he says, I wish that all men were even as I myself, but each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner, another that. But I say to the unmarried and to widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. So in this particular situation, a person may choose to be unmarried and remain that way. It's simply a matter of, there's no sin involved. It's just a choice. Now, the duties of the unmarried. Well, let's talk about the fact that they're, first of all, told to marry to avoid fornication. In 1 Corinthians 7, again, that's where we were just reading a moment ago, concerning the things of which I wrote, you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife and each woman her own husband. And this is where Paul, you know, made the statement that he wishes everyone could remain as they are, for them to, you know, never, not to marry. But then down in verse 9, but if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry. For it's better to marry than to burn with passion. And there's some difference of opinion on that particular passage. But the idea is it's better to marry than to go on being faced with the temptation of fornication and so forth. But marriage is an honorable way to avoid fornication. But of course, this presumes a scriptural right to marry, and that is another subject in and of itself. But the unmarried must remain chaste if not married. In 1 Corinthians 6, beginning with verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators nor idolaters or adulterers or homosexuals or sodomites, nor thieves nor covetous nor drunkards nor revilers nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Notice, some of the people at Corinth were unchaste, no doubt about it. Now, look at verse chapter 6 and verse 18 now. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see that the command is there to keep oneself chaste or pure. Sexual intimacy outside of marriage is fornication or sexual immorality. But you can use your singleness. I'm sorry, the body is not to be used for sexual immorality. Just that's plain and simple. And that is one of the problems of being single. Now, singleness is to be used for the Lord. Going back to 1 Corinthians 7 again, down to verse 32 this time. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 32. But I want you to be without care. He who is married, unmarried, cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, that you may serve the Lord, listen now, without distraction. Singles oftentimes have more time and less responsibilities. Now, what can you do? Utilize your situation to serve the Lord where others don't have that opportunity. Now, let's look at another category of singles if we can. I want to take a look at the divorced. First, we want to consider reasons for being divorced. For some, it may be for scriptural reasons. They may indeed put away their spouse for the cause of fornication. Jesus said in Matthew 19:9, I say to you that whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality or fornication, and marries another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced, commits adultery. Or it's possible that they're divorced because they realized that they were in an unlawful relationship or unlawful marriage. Mark 6:8 finds John the Baptist noting such a relationship with Herod. He said, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. It wasn't lawful. He was married to her, but it wasn't lawful. For others, it may be for unscriptural reasons that they are divorced. Possibly they were put away for no fault of their own. That doesn't give them a right to remarry. Or they were put away their spouse for reasons other than fornication. Doesn't give them a right to remarry. Now, let's look at the duties of those who are divorced. Whether people are aware of this or not, there are specific duties associated with those who are divorced. Notice with me, if you will, please. They are to return to their spouse if possible. Look at 1 Corinthians 7, reading verses 10 and 11. To the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, that a wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, now listen, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. Now, I would say that the same thing applies to the husband. Let him remain unmarried or be reconciled to his wife. In an effort to reconcile and restore the marriage, that's our duty. And especially is this true when the reason is not for fornication. If you're divorced for a reason that is not for fornication, you can stay unmarried, all right. But what do? You go back to your spouse or remain unmarried. That is what the Lord says. Now, you need also, and one of your duties as an unmarried person who's divorced, to avoid adulterous marriage. Matthew 5:31-32. For it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. What takes place when a person divorced, not for the reason of sexual immorality, what happens when a person is divorced and for that reason, and then they go marry someone else? They commit adultery. That is an unlawful relationship. In Romans 7, beginning of verse 2, Paul says the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called, what? An adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. It is possible for a marriage to result in an adulterous relationship. And dear ones, let me tell you, if the grounds for the remarriage are not scriptural, it is going to result in a marriage that is adulterous in nature. Look with me at Matthew 19 and 9. Whoever divorces his wife except for sexually immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is put away commits adultery. That's it. The marriage where the innocent party put away the guilty party is the only thing that releases a person, and that being the innocent party, to possibly remarry. And there again, they certainly can reconcile to their spouse if they can find it in their heart to do so. Now, let's see what the scriptures say about another category. And that category is the widowed. First of all, we want to look at the young widows. The young widows, Paul counsels to marry again. In 1 Timothy 5:14, it says, therefore, I desire the young widows, marry, bear children, manage the house, and give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Now, Paul has something in mind here. And what he has in mind is young widows who don't remarry or contract marriage with another man have a tendency, not only young widows, but have a tendency to be idle, gossip, and become busybodies. Look at 1 Timothy 5, and now the next verse back. But 5:13, and besides they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but gossips, busybodies, saying things which they ought not. And of course, this would presume that one is willing to marry her. I mean, it doesn't mean you go out and beat the bushes and find somebody to marry you. But a younger widow needs to be willing to find another partner and to do the job that God gave her to do. Now, what about the aged widow? Well, in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 5, she is taught to trust in God. Look at 1 Timothy 5:5. And she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplication and prayer day and night. Now, there's an interesting phrase in here. She who is really a widow. And if we only had that, we would wonder, what's he talking about? Well, what he's talking about here is one who is left alone, trusts in God, and continues in prayers day and night. It's kind of like what we read about Anna. Anna was like this. Over in Luke chapter 2, verse 36 to 38, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all of those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. We can see that this would be a thing to do, to devote yourself in service to God. But notice, singleness can indeed be a blessing, whether by choice or by circumstance. Think about it for just a moment. Freedom from care in distress or persecution is an automatic benefit of singleness. Paul recognized that if you're bound to a wife, you have certain obligations and duties you have to take care of. But if you don't marry and you do not sin, you have the freedom to devote yourself in service to God, just like he did. And that's why he said in verse 32 of 1 Corinthians 7, I want you to be without care. That's how he wanted them to be. And he says there that he who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But another thing to consider is freedom is inherent in being single to serve the Lord in ways that married people cannot. 1 Corinthians 7, 32 through 35, again, he says, I want you to be without care, and I want you not to have these things that are on your plate, if you will. That's one of the modern parlances. But I don't want you to be this way. I want you to be able to devote yourself wholly to the Lord. But a married person can't do that the same way that a single person can. They just have got things that have to be done, and we know that. Now, don't get me wrong. Single people have things that have to be done, but they aren't answering to another person. They are more free to regulate their own time frame and their own schedule. But I want you to keep in mind that singleness does have disadvantages. And this I want you to keep in mind, just like Paul pointed out in the things we've been reading. There is the danger of being tempted. That is one of the things that marriage takes out of the way. Well, not out of the way. It gives a proper place for it. Unfortunately, if it was out of the way, we would never have divorce for the cause of adultery. But we know that still happens. But this is one way that you can rightfully have a good possible good relationship. But there's also another danger that goes along with this. And that is the danger of loneliness. Now, for some people, this is not a problem. But it is a problem of being alone and by yourself. That's something that can be remedied by marriage, there's no doubt about it. But there's one more, and that is the danger of self-centeredness. The danger of self-centeredness. And that comes with being single. That comes with being alone and thinking nobody else matters anywhere. Until pretty soon, all you think about yourself. And you know, this is not devoting yourself to God. This is in no way doing that. Self-centeredness causes you to become egocentric or or only yourself. And I want this, and I want this, and I don't want that, and I don't want that. And that's not the proper attitude for a child of God. We should use our singleness to the glory of God. And certainly, self-centeredness will not be to the glory of God. Now, should you find yourself in the condition of being single, the admonition that we would give you is this: use your freedom to serve God. Look for the advantages you have, the opportunities that it presents to you, and watch out for the dangers of being single. Don't close your eyes and just pretend that everything's all right and have something creep up on you that'll ruin you. You don't want that. Watch out for these dangers. And this is the final one, remember that you are in the family of God. Not only your own physical family you may be blessed with in this life, but you are a part of the family of God. When the disciples asked Jesus, "Hey, we gave up everything for you, Lord. What's going to happen to us?" And he said in Mark 10, verse 29, "I say to you, there is no one who has left houses or brothers or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel who shall not receive 100-fold in this time. Houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, lands with persecution. And in the age to come, eternal life." And after all, isn't that what it's all about? I mean, what we have in this life is just passing through. But we have the comfort of knowing that we have brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers, wives, children, that are of the house of God, and that they look out for one another, and that they care for one another. Whenever our circumstances, whatever they may be, married or single, whatever you find yourself, may God be the focus of our walk, and may we follow God's word and glorify him with our families and with our lives. Indeed, that should be the goal of each and every one of us. The next lesson in this series, and I know you're saying, okay, now just a minute. There's husbands, wives, the children, and now singles. Now, how can you find anything else to talk about? Well, I have something else to talk about, and that is resolving family conflict. And I believe this to be crucial in having a happy home. And indeed, the home was given to us as a blessing from up above, and it's something that we should treasure. But it should not be filled with conflict. And that's what we're going to talk about in the next lesson.